Welcome inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. I'm Trevor Sycamore. With me is Benjamin Solak. And this, ladies and gentlemen, is a Fan Friday. You know what that means. That means that you guys are hijacking the show. We're answering all your questions. But before we do that, Ben.
Is it hijacking the show if we ask them to?
I guess technically it's not.
Right?
So now what would we call this? Them just... Are we, like, willingly giving up the throne, like, handing them the sword?
It's Fan Friday, you know, the day where you do most of our jobs for us. We're, like...
Yeah, but I'm trying to make it dramatic. I'm a dramatic person. So, like, I'm trying to spice stuff up or I'll get really bored with you.
Did you ever sit on your dad's lap and steer the steering wheel of the car while he operated the pedals?
Yeah, a lot.
It's kind of like that.
Yeah, last week.
Okay, well, that wasn't exactly.
I don't have my license. I don't have my license yet, so.
I don't believe you. You've driven me before, in a very nice vehicle.
Well, it was illegal. That was the first time I drove without my dad, actually. Oh, anyways,
okay. Well, proud of you. You knew the traffic rules really well.
Well, you know, I've been practicing. You know, hopefully, just a couple more years of driving on my dad's lap, and maybe he'll let me get a license. We gotta wrap up the defensive tackle talk for this week. Ben, did you have a five? Did you rank these guys as you were going through them? Or did you not do your job?
Yes, I did.
Okay. So, y'all know the drill. Starting at five, we're going to go back and forth. We're going to talk about our top interior defensive linemen that we watched this week. Ben, who is your number five?
Number five for me ended up being, and you might be mad at me for this, but I don't really care, Javon Kinlaw, the South Carolina player, who thought was not very good, but I thought was pretty good.
Okay.
It's not a thrilling upperclassman group in terms of what we've got so far, but I really, really like the explosiveness and length profile that I got from Kinlaw. I think he's a tremendous athlete who we should anticipate, if he makes some technical strides coming up in this year, to be a player that a team is willing to invest highly in because he has a super high ceiling. Javon Kinlaw, Thursday pod, my number five.
Well, that works out well because... you know, you have a guy that I didn't like at your number five, and I have a guy that you didn't like as my number five. I've got McTelvin Aguim as my number five, and I just think that when I was watching him, the effort, the motor, the movements for a man of his size, very interested to see what he'll play at now that hopefully he's gaining a little bit more weight, playing more at a defensive tackle weight, because I really think that he was probably playing around 280, 285 when we were watching the tape of him. He's playing a lot on the edge, so... A little bit of projection, thinking of what he's going to do more in a full-time defensive tackle role. But a lot of times when you get guys that move inside, effort's the thing that struggles the most, especially when they put on that extra weight. I'm not worried about that part with Aguim, and I see some explosiveness from him. So very interested to see what he's going to do now that he's getting some interior line technique, getting those movements down. And so he's my fifth guy.
I like it. Number four for me was Michigan State, Raekwon Williams, who was a player that I watched a while ago. Having done the Michigan State defense, impressed with the quickness, impressed with the length. He's a guy who's at his best right now when he's slanting, when he's twisting, when he's stunting, when he's working into different gaps. He needs to become better head up in terms of using his hands to create displacement, to generate that space that he needs to operate so that he's not just winning when he's incorporated in games, but the physical tools that you see in games, if we can translate that into head up play, well, he's going to quickly become a good pass rusher. As you discussed and you well highlighted, not only a strong run defender, but the motor runs very, very hot on Raekwon Williams. So he makes a lot of cleanup plays from the interior as well, which I like a lot. And like Kinlaw, it's a mold that the NFL is going to like.
Sure. Yeah. Great story, too. Like a kid that you absolutely want to root for. Yep. So I'm all for that. Derrick Brown is my number four from Auburn.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I wasn't the biggest fan of his. I thought he would pop out a lot more than he did. Who were you watching? What were you talking about popping out yesterday? Oh, but you were talking about Neville Gallimore, talking about him like not popping out. That was kind of the thing. I went into that kind of the way that you went into the Oklahoma tape with him, thinking like, okay, you're supposed to pop out at me. I'd heard so much about Derrick Brown, and I like him. I think that he's good. I just am afraid that he's going to get like lost in translation a little bit. I didn't see a ton that like popped from him. Now, maybe that's just because of either the games that I watched or he's really going to take a big leap here in his final year. I think it's got to be a senior year, right? Right? Because he could have went last year. So got to be a senior year here. So perhaps I'll see a little bit more pop from him and be able to see more splash plays where I can see him translating to the NFL and making a big impact. But as of right now, I think he's a good player. I just didn't think he was a great player. So that's where I was on him.
I'm trying to figure out the three players you've got above Derrick Brown, man. I know two of them, because I think I know two of them. I'd be surprised when I figure out that they're. Oh, I know who it probably is. Probably Robert Landers. Anyway, three for me is Jordan Scott, the underclassman that we washed out of Oregon. Jordan Scott is a unique player. He's a different mold, a different type. Like, I love to say, I mean, the dude is as wide as he is deep. He is a broad fella. And that squatty frame, that mini fridge style of build, he plays in that style and in that physical space really, really, really well. So fantastic initial leverage, very quick off the ball, regularly, frequently, often, consistently the first guy off the ball. And so he's winning that initial step. He's generating that initial leverage. He's very difficult to handle as a one gapper or two gapper in the running game. And then as a pass rusher, no, he's not going to be, your long guys who are, throwing their swims and their club reps and everything like that. But he has good hand usage and he has a ton of power. And so he's regularly pushing the depth pocket. He's able to separate to a half man because he has that initial quickness, generate that quick pressure, move the quarterback off his spot. Other guys are able to clean up off of him, and that's what you want from a zero technique rusher. And so Scott, not going to be everybody's flavor, but a really, really strong player in his role, and a good defensive coordinator knows how to get something out of him.
Jordan Scott,
I said Jordan.
as many people pointed out to us on Twitter,
Okay, like two.
he's also, yet look, dude, that's many, you know?
That's a couple.
Yeah, but it's also like a many.
No, but one is single, two is couple, few is 3 to 5, several is like 6 to 9, and then
No,
many is 10.
I think that if I go with many is any greater than
All
one.
right. We'll remember this next time that something goes my way. We get two people who say it, and it'll be many. We'll see
No,
how you feel about it then.
we won't. I control the edits of this podcast. I'll just cut it out.
Oh no.
What?
Unfair.
What's up?
Now the people are going to wonder how many things you've cut out.
A lot. Jordan Scott is also my number three guy. You highlighted him pretty well. A lot of the stuff that he does really well. Love his first step, get off, and I love his hands. I said that when we were going over him. When he pops up, and he pops up quick, his hands go with him, and those hands often go in the right spots, and he's often knocking guys onto their heels and off balance and making a difference right in the middle of the pocket, getting the quarterback off of his normal path or making the running back move left or right. He does a great job of that. I see too many interior defensive linemen. You have a great first step, and they just don't know what to do with it. Jordan Scott certainly does, so he is also my number three guy.
Okay. Number two for me is Derrick Brown, who, for his issues, is a player who's still what he has right now in terms of NFL readiness year one in a pass rush is much better than what you're typically getting from a defensive tackle prospect. There are absolutely gaps in his game. There are inconsistencies. There's ups and there's downs. Those are things you want to iron out. They're going to keep him from being, as we've talked about, the potential first rounder that he's been billed as. However, when you have the power that he does, when you have the initial first step that he does, and the ability to generate productive, fruitful pass rushes, they're not just pushing the
What
depth of
kind
the
of
pocket,
fruit?
not just disrupting the quarterback,
What
but
kind of fruit?
finishing. What was that?
What kind of fruit?
Kumquats?
You said he's. Wow! Wow! A little trivia here. I had a kumquat tree in my yard, in my house, in my first house when I was growing up.
If you had told me kumquats grew on like a bush or a vine, I would have just believed you. I don't know anything about a kumquat. I couldn't pull a kumquat out of a crowd.
Okay.
Just a fun thing to say.
Okay.
Anyway, he
I was
generates
not
sacks
expecting
from
you
the
to pull
interior.
that one out. That was good. That was good on you, man. You know your
I do my
fruits.
best. He generates sacks from the interior. He is a he creates
He
sacks
generates
from it.
kumquats from the interior, is what you mean.
Yes, sacks are kumquats, as I've often said. And
Okay.
so Brown provides value in that way, even for his technical flaws and even for some of his inconsistencies on the interior. So there's work to do. He's nowhere near my number one, your number one, everybody's number one. But he's a
Yeah,
good player
Robert
in his own
Lent.
right.
What?
I said, but he's a good player in his own right.
Oh, you don't have Robert Landers number one?
And no, I do not. Calm down.
Oh, okay. My number two is Raekwon Ditt. No, I'm just kidding.
Shh.
I should have just gone with it. I should have just
Just
kept
rolling it.
going with it.
I would
Just
not have spoken. I would have just sat here, just like really thinking out whether or not that was legit.
Okay, next time I run a prank, guys, I'm sorry. I'm just gonna run it to completion. We can all sit here and watch Ben squirm about it. Robert Landers is my number two guy, and I find myself with this defensive tackle class betting on a lot of the guys who have the potential ceiling because I think we've been spoiled a little bit with the defensive line guys in years past where they're really refined. Like, it's easy to see them translate to the next level. It's easy to see these guys winning really well. Quinnen Williams, Jeffrey Simmons. I mean, even when we were looking at Raekwon Davis last year, it's just really easy to see these guys translating to NFL roles. This year's defensive class is just not exactly that kind of caliber. So there's guys, whether it be McTelvin Aguim or guys like Robert Landers, who they're kind of in rotations a little bit, but especially Landers. Landers a lot more than Aguim, but when he flashes, when he gets off that ball, when he can split those double teams, when he can diagnose where offensive linemen are going to be, how to manipulate them, get pressure into the backfield, all that kinds of stuff, I take notice. And I'm like, okay, well, maybe that's the kind of splash stuff that you might be able to give me in the NFL. So I'm definitely betting on a lot of these guys and their splash plays more than, say, their consistency or even, like, overall role-playing. Sure. But, yeah, that's why Landers is my number two guy, because I think he does a lot of that stuff well, and I think he gives you that real interior disruption when things are going good for him, which happen quite often, I would say, for an interior guy.
Yeah, I debated Landers, Kinlaw. I went with Kinlaw because the ceiling talk, but Landers is a good player. We talked about how much we liked it.
Yeah.
My number one, Benito Jones, defensive tackle at Ole Miss.
Of course.
Cowboy boots.
Of course.
Raekwon Davis is good. Raekwon Davis is top 10 potential good. Raekwon Davis is incredibly versatile. Trevor's five-play prospect on him was a tremendous article. Make sure you go and read it. Go and Gang. Listen to the Tuesday podcast in which we talk about Raekwon Davis. We wax poetic about him. Length, quickness, power, and tremendous, tremendous functional understanding, positional understanding, football IQ. Just a smart, comfortable, developed NFL-ready player.
Yep. Really like him. Length at 6'7", 305. I would love to get him a chance at 3-4 defensive end. I'd love to see what he could do. I think he could be a true two-gap guy if you want him there, or else you're giving him the space on the outside as well for him to potentially pass rush. I really hope that he goes to a 3-4 3-4 scheme team, because I think he brings a lot of versatility and a lot of potential success in that area. And the baseline, I really do think that Raekwon Davis has probably the highest floor out of anyone that we have watched. Like, this guy's going to be baseline.
He's going to play in the NFL for 10 years. I would bet a ton of money.
Well, you hope that he's healthy enough too, because defensive linemen sometimes aren't. Neither are guys who are 6'7" and carry more than 300 pounds. But yes, his skill set is just picture perfect for the NFL, no matter what team he is on. I think you're getting a solid defensive lineman if you play in a 4-3. So there we go. That is our top five of the defensive tackle class. We're going to end to edge guys next week. But before we do that, we got some questions to get to this week. It's Fan Friday. We're starting off with Kyle was the first one to ask questions, so I'm going to kind of in chronological order this time. Kyle Point asked, top five Adam Sandler movies, go.
Okay, so interesting thing about Adam Sandler movies.
Oh, no.
What?
Are you going to say that you're too young for these movies?
Not that I'm too young.
Because you are.
But I'm too young for these movies. Oh. I have seen two Adam Sandler movies.
What are they?
50 First Dates and Happy Gilmore.
Okay, if one of them wasn't Happy Gilmore, I was going to lose my mind. But
I've seen three. I watched The Longest Yard once on a sleepover.
Okay, all right. Okay, so you haven't seen Waterboy?
No, I have not.
Okay.
I haven't seen any of the stupid-looking ones, like Grown Ups or Murder Mystery.
I watched Don't Mess with Zohan, and it's not my kind of movie, so I wasn't a fan.
And I feel like I've probably seen, like, a total of five movies that have him in it, but, like, in terms of, like, Adam Sandler movies.
Uh-huh.
Only those three. And so first place is obviously Happy Gilmore. Second place is 50 First Dates. And then third place would be Longest Yard. And then fourth and fifth would be whatever you want it to be. Just put in the ones that would make you the least mad. And then don't yell at me on the internet.
Okay. All right. My top five would be: five is Big Daddy. Four is 50 First Dates. Three is Waterboy.
That's too low for 50 First Dates. I don't even care what the other ones are. 50 First Dates is a classic. Ask me if I cry. Yes, I cry.
I mean, yeah, it's a great movie. But it's not better than Waterboy, Billy Madison, or Happy Gilmore.
What is Billy Madison?
Ben, please do me a favor over the weekend. While you're watching your beautiful little dog, while he's
95, I was -2.
While he's taking a nap, because we know he does that often. It's what pups do.
She.
Sorry, she. Nug. Pop. pop in Billy Madison. I want you to give me a full report on Billy Madison in next week's podcast.
Okay. What? Okay, I'm going to look at the description of this, and then I'll get back to you. Man-child Billy Madison has been a spoiled rich kid all his life and spends his days drinking and partying. When his father, hotel magnate Brian, played by Darren McGavin, who I don't know who that is, becomes fed up with his son's irresponsible ways, he issues an ultimatum. Since Billy passed all schooling, he must retake and pass every grade in 24 weeks. Okay, that seems interesting. I'll watch that.
Thank you. All right. We're in, folks. He's going to watch it. It's kind of rare that we're going to get somebody who's watching Billy Madison for the first time in 2019. So I'm actually really excited about this. Next question. Rank the national pizza chains.
Yes. Okay. I feel passionately about this because I feel passionately about very cheap food that as like still a very young male who runs a lot, I can just eat and then it just vanishes and I just don't keep the weight. Like I love fast food.
How much can you run? Like when you run, how far do you run?
So like I'm rehabbing from injury right now, and so not very much. When I was in my prime, I was a 55, 60 mile a week guy.
Could not be me. All right. Can we talk about something that my fat ass can enjoy, like pizza, please?
One is Domino's.
Yes. Thank you.
This is not even a question.
Thank you. Oh my God. Thank you. Ever since Domino's redid their like whole like attack method, it's been like 10 out of 10 for cheap pizza. Absolutely. It's fantastic. Thank you.
Is that right? And like, I'm not saying I would go there and like, I go to like a classic Italian Chicago place and like put it about that. No, but in terms of like national pizza chains, they're going to get to my house in 35 minutes and it's going to be consistently good. And I know what it is no matter where I am. Domino's Pizza. Every time.
All right, keep going.
Two is Pizza Hut. Three is Little Caesars, which it's like a big gap between two and three. Mm-hmm. And then like 796 is Papa John's. Mm-hmm. And those are the four that I know of as like regular ones. Now there's a thing called Blaze Pizza up here in Michigan. I don't know if it's
Yeah, we got Blaze.
Yeah. Blaze, I would probably put it three. Blaze is a lot of
fun. That don't count.
Yeah, but they're not super like around. So those are like the national ones that I know of. I don't know if there's any other ones.
So we actually have the exact same order.
Good. All the way down to the 796.
Yes, and then I have as my fifth one CC's Pizza.
I've heard of CC's, I think.
Oh, you never been? Okay. But yeah, we have the exact same five actually.
Yeah. I mean, like, that very simply just is the truth of the matter, and anybody who disagrees is patently wrong.
Truly an enemy of the pod.
Enemy of the pod.
What play/game or result made you question if you ever wanted to watch football again? I thought about doing a lot of research for this one, but the answer immediately came to me, okay?
Hey.
And it has a lot of emotion in it. 2012, Florida had a chance to basically be a national championship contender. They're playing Georgia in the Florida-Georgia game, which is on a neutral field in Jacksonville, Florida. This is my first Florida-Georgia game I ever went to as a student because 2012 was my first year as a student. I was very spoiled because their defense that year was incredible. It was a lot of fun. Jordan Reed fumbled the ball. Tight end Jordan Reed fumbled the ball into the end zone basically as the game was coming down to the last seconds, and Georgia recovered, and they won the game by just a few points. And Florida then did not make it to the national championship. They didn't make it to the SEC championship because then Georgia went. And I wondered if I could ever love again. I really do. Because I was also row one for that game. And so I truly just watched that ball bounce right out of his hands, right into the end zone, onto my shattered heart. So that is the one that made me question if I ever wanted to watch football again.
I went a different direction with this. I don't think, I mean, like the Eagles had some of those heartbreaking plays, like in the, you know, in the early 2000s when they just couldn't get out of the NFC Championship game.
Oh.
But for me,
what's
that?
Oh yeah, yeah. Okay. Is there the one play in the early 2000s? Is there?
What are you talking about?
That stands out to you? Is there one that?
No,
Really?
no. So I'm saying, I didn't go the direction in terms of like
I mean,
fantasy points.
hypothetically, I mean, if a nickel corner cut a route
Okay, you want to talk about the Rondae Barber? That was a
and
good
if
play.
then ret he returned it for a touchdown and that was like to seal the game, like in the NFC Championship game. I mean, like that would be bad. That would be pretty bad.
Here's the thing. I know objectively that that happened. I don't have a great memory of that exact
I
game.
can
That was
send you
a
the link.
yeah. I've seen it many times. Thank you.
Okay, I'll send it to you. I'll send it to you.
Yeah, just in case I've forgotten.
Yeah.
But that was 2002, so I was five. Yeah, and so I was actually probably four. Yeah, I was four, about to turn five. But anyway, the play that stands out to me was when Brian Dawkins hit Bubba Franks, and Bubba Franks had to get carted off the field
Oh,
in a
wow.
race. I
Yeah.
don't know if you remember this hit, but Bubba Franks was going up the sideline, and they threw a long nine to him, a deep fade, and Dawkins came from single high, and just like the phrase "took his head off" has never so closely applied. Bubba Franks hit the ground, and everybody knew watching it that Bubba Franks was just not getting back up. And it was just scary. I was probably 8 or 9, and I was just like I loved Brian Dawkins. And at first I was like, Brian Dawkins. And then I saw Bubba Franks, I saw the thing going on. I was just terrified.
Yeah.
And that was, I think, one of the first times I, as a young kid, really came to understand how violent the game was, and it kind of freaked me out a
Huh.
little bit. So I can play that Bubba Franks hit in my head. It's imprinted in my memory. You know what I mean?
Yeah, very different answers there. That was good. Do you have the CB question in front of you? The rank the CBs.
Okay, what are you, oh, the one with the 10 greatest ones? Yeah,
Yes.
I have it, and I kind of, looked over it, but it's really hard for me because, again, I didn't watch a lot of these guys play live. You know what I
Okay,
mean?
so here's what it is, folks. It says rank these 10 cornerbacks from 2000 to the present. Darrell
Right.
Revis, Ty Law, Champ Bailey, Charles Woodson, Nnamdi Asamoah, Asante Samuel, Richard Sherman, Charles Tillman, Patrick Peterson, Rondae Barber. And then he says, which pair of these corners do you have to defend to win a game in a Super Bowl? Which would obviously just be the best ones. I have this. This is from worst to best of these names. Nnamdi
That like I th that one I felt comfortable with. Like Asamoah, Barber should be low.
I'll
You can
never.
go ahead. Go ahead.
I'll never. Nnamdi Asamoah, Charles Tillman, Richard Sherman, Patrick Peterson, Ty Law, Rondae Barber, Asante Samuel, Charles Woodson, Champ Bailey, Darrell Revis.
Okay, we have the exact same top four, so I feel good about that. Because I
Okay.
was like, I don't know super well what I'm doing here. But yeah, mine goes Revis, Bailey, from top to bottom. Revis, Bailey, Woodson, Samuel, Pat, Pete, Sherman, Tillman, Barber, Law, Asamoah.
Man, hating on Ty Law out here.
Dude, the thing is, I think it's a clear four in Revis, Bailey, Woodson,
Yeah,
and
I think
Samuel
so. I mean,
that are
like
like immortals.
Revis is the best corner I've ever seen.
Yeah, and Bailey, this is a hill I've had for a while. I didn't like I knew Bailey was a really good player, and then I watched Bailey film again, as a guy who's worked in sports media and has developed a lot more as a talent evaluator. Man, I didn't realize how good Champ Bailey was.
Listen,
Jiminy Christmas,
listen,
he's a really fun watch.
listen. I had the jerseys of three people on this list. I had a Champ Bailey Broncos jersey. I had a Charles Woodson Raiders jersey, and I obviously had a Rondae Barber jersey. So,
I wanted a Nnamdi Asamoah jersey. I didn't get one. Thank
thank
goodness for that.
goodness for that. All right, you as your actual self get called up to play a full NFL game. You must give your best effort, but can't cash the check if an injury prevents you from completing the game. Would you rather play running back behind a very good O-line, play quarterback behind a bad O-line, or handle kick return duties?
It's a very easy question.
Yes, it is.
Handle kick return.
It's handle kick return duties. What Manuel is asking this question, what he should have said is that you have to field all of them.
Right.
Like
Or
you
you've got to be like a
can't.
block man. You've got to be like one of the leaders in the
Yeah.
wedge.
So
Recipes to the wedge can't be wedge anymore.
let's say he puts in there that you have to field all of them and you can't call fair catch.
Right. Then it's Listen, it's play QB behind a better
Yeah, then it's
offensive
play
line.
QB. Yeah.
It's at all costs avoid play running back behind a good offensive
Yeah,
line.
not a chance.
Because
Not a
good
chance in
offensive
hell.
line does not matter.
Safety. Safeties are still free and unblocked, man.
All right, and the ball's in my hands, and if I can't throw it to get rid of it without incurring a penalty, we're in trouble. So whatever it means, not running back.
Right,
that's
right,
my pick.
Right. Start, bench, or cut. New York cheesecake, creme brulee, banana pudding.
Yeah, this is a really, really good one. So the clear start is New York cheesecake.
Thank
Anybody
you. I was about to be, because Ben, I get worried when you say this one's obvious. And then I go, oh, Lord, if he says what he's not supposed to say here, I'm going to have a talk with him. But that was
now,
good. You did well.
Right. And the thing is, I can't say I'm very experienced in creme brulees. I just haven't lived a life where I eat things that are named French. I just don't have that level of clout
yet. Wow, could
yet.
Not be me, the experienced Paris goer.
Yeah, oh, very true. Please educate me in the ways of the creme brulee.
Did not have
even
one.
I think that's French.
Did not have one.
Yeah, no. But a New York style cheesecake is just like, it's a go-to.
The
go. It's a staple.
The
cheesecake
goat.
Is amazing. And then I'm probably, like I said, I don't have a ton of experience with creme brulee, so I'm probably benching the banana pudding to keep it on my team for when I need to change up from the cheesecake, and then I'm cutting the creme brulee just because I don't know what he is. I'm going to let another team develop him out and figure out what he's going to be in the future. See what I did there.
I'm going to bench banana pudding and then cut creme brulee. I like creme brulee, but like the southern food aficionado in me would not forgive myself if I cut banana pudding.
Yeah.
So
it's a shame we can't do
pudding.
We can do the other start bench cuts, really. We can't do start bench cuts, Stranger Things 3 seasons, because I've not seen season 3 yet.
I haven't seen season 3 yet either.
Okay. No talking about it. And then the start bench cut, Monster Energy, Bang Energy, Rockstar Energy.
Where's that?
I am 0 for 3 on consuming those.
Okay.
Things.
I'm starting Bang Energy, benching Monster, and cutting Rockstar, even though I've had Monster the most. I don't really drink a ton of energy drinks, so.
I've never heard of Rockstar, so I figured I'd cut it. Most people who drink Monster Energy, I don't really like as people. Has
okay.
been my experience.
Shout out, Kyle.
Shout out, yeah, big ups, Kyle. Versus Bang Energy, which Michael Kiss drinks, and he and I are buddies.
Bang Energy is just what every single IG model parades around everywhere, so.
If I had an Instagram, I'm sure that
at least they got a at least they got a good at least they got a good strat going. Better prime, JJ Watt or Aaron Donald?
I thought this was easy, and then I looked at it, and it was a little harder. But I think it's still Donald.
I think it's Donald too. I mean, JJ Watt's unbelievable, though.
Right. Which we like.
If JJ Watt would have been fully healthy his entire career, like we're literally talking about two of the best defensive players who have ever played the game.
And that's why there's two things here that I wanted to bring up on this topic, which is one, Kyle brings up this point where it's like, listen, like we forget that JJ Watt, like 2013 to 2015, 20.5 sacks, 10.5 sacks, 20.5 sacks, 17.5 sacks. That's 49 sacks, 4 seasons.
No, it's unbelievable.
Like that, and that right there is just like
he had 16 last year.
Right, which like now that he's like back, he had 16. It was quiet. You know what I mean? It's like, oh yeah, JJ Watt, 16 sacks. That's just one a game. Where you been, JJ? Right, but that if we're calling that 4-year stint a prime, then yes, like Aaron Donald just isn't doing that. Like no, at no point.
Well, I mean. I mean, yeah. Like, you're right, but
that's 50 sacks in 4 seasons.
No, right? I get it. I go back to what I said before. If J.J. Watt's fully healthy, we're talking about two of the best defensive players who've ever played the game. We really are.
And so now with Donald, what you have is in the past 4 seasons, it's 50 sacks, right? And so there you go. Like, it's you had Watt put together 60 sacks in a season, and Donald has 50 in 4 seasons. So Watt had 60. I did the math wrong. Watt had 60 in 4 seasons. Donald had 50 in 4 seasons.
Yeah. Wild, man.
Donald could still be in that prime. Because this, like, that...
Yeah, but Donald got... So, like, include the rookie year then. So he's got 65, and Watt's got 65, and Donald's got 59 and a half. You know, like, they're this... they're both just unbelievable. Donald had 9 sacks as a rookie.
Oh, this is so hard. It might be Watt. Like if you're comfortable calling a 4-year framework prime, like his prime was he was 23 to 26, boom, that's it. Then it's Watt.
But like, I think we need to ask this question again next year. Because if Watt again puts up anywhere near 15 sacks, like it's got to be him. Like even if Donald goes crazy again and has like 17. Like at that point,
but I would argue we're out of Watt's prime. Like he's gonna be 30 and he's gonna be off of two major injuries.
But I think I don't know. Like I think that goes into it because then that measures football ability. Like
which was my second. Right, but that was my second part of the question. Is like how do we define prime? Right. Like what exactly is prime? Because Aaron Donald might have double digit sacks every year for the next 7 years. Right? In which case, like, where's his prime? Circle it. You know what I mean? Like, it's what? It's till he's 35? Like, if we're defining prime as, like, you're just, you know, like, you're young, your body can take anything, you're super hungry, you're the top of the league. It's what? Oh, man. I don't, this, like, I would, like,
we
I
just walked, answer. Like, both of us said Donald at the beginning of this question, and now we're both, like, leaning.
Right, because I realized I did my math wrong on J.J. Watt's sacks, and so now I'm just flabbergasted. Like, I don't. Oh, it's such a difficult. It's I like it's why. It. Oh man. Okay.
All right. All right. I'm gonna say it's JJ Watt.
Attaboy. Either way, that's the best question we've ever gotten.
Yeah, it
because
is.
Because I did the math wrong, and so I in live on air realized that it might actually be JJ Watt. Oh man.
If you were a college football player, would you rather be a mediocre starter on a championship contending team or an above average starter on a Power 5 team or an elite starter on a G5 team?
Yeah, it's interesting, right? I feel like, you know, it's a good question. Like, it's a good, I think it's a good, like, first date question. Though, obviously, you need to make sure your first date has some work in college football knowledge. But you, like, learn what, like, how somebody is as a person. Because I'm really attracted to the idea. I don't want to be an above average starter on an average Power 5 team. I'm attracted to the idea of being a mediocre starter on a championship contending team because when a team is competing for a championship and everybody in the building knows that, the degree of camaraderie that you get and kind of the goal orientation and the singular focus is unique. Mm-hmm. It's powerful. It's a wave. It sweeps you up and it kind of unites everybody. And that's a really cool feeling. But then as an elite starter on a Group of 5 team, you have the opportunity to potentially be a Power 5 team and be the spearhead of that effort. You know, everybody on that Group of 5 team says, like, because, you know, we're able to rally around you, you know, because we're able to, we have this wild card, we now have a hope of beating a Power 5 team. And if you do it, that feeling is amazing. The ability that underdog experience is a really, really cool thing that I can empathize with. Like that underdog feeling, I'm familiar with that. And I like that a lot. And so those are my two that I'm attracted to for those reasons. So I think I'd probably choose championship contending just because, yeah. I mean, like that opportunity in of itself is really special. But there's nothing I love more than a Group of 5 team beating a Power 5 team. I think it's so fun.
Yeah, I think. No, I mean, it's if you've ever been on a team in any sports that you like absolutely love, where like the people on your team, like you'd call your best friends or that you'd die for or whatever you want to call it. There's nothing like that. And if, like, that's the case on a championship contending team, like, give me that. Like, that's the best part of sports, honestly. It really is. Yes. If you could pick two people to have been your parents, who would you pick? You can't pick your real parents. So, who would it be?
The very easy answer.
Okay.
Which I'm now saying this on purpose just to mess with you. Thomas and Martha Wayne.
Okay. Yeah.
Bruce Wayne's parents.
Yeah. No. No. I got it. Yeah.
I'm willing to make the sacrifice.
Okay.
I just ordered batarangs for my office.
I'm going with. I want The Rock as my dad, and I want Serena Williams as my mom. Because I'm
Rock's
gonna.
Never home.
Because I'm gonna be the most athletic and incredible person who's also extremely good looking. Like, I'm set up to win at every level of humanity.
Yeah, but I'm the hero that we need, not the hero that we deserve.
Bro, my dad's the
just
Rock.
glossed over the fact
The
that I wrote
Rock,
the battle rings for The Office. I thought that would be more exciting.
dude. The Rock is my dad. We'd whoop your candy ass.
I'm Batman.
Who wins at the Hot Gates of Thermopylae? The 300 greatest Michigan State players of all time, led by Duffy Doherty, or a Persian army comprised of 300,000 Ben Solaks who utter, "Aw, geez, Trevor," in a Morty voice when they fall?
So, the main thing I took away from this question, I didn't know, because I know of the Battle of Thermopylae, I've seen 300, okay, that's great. I did not know that they had the nickname the Hot Gates.
Yeah,
That's
dude.
such the Hot Gates.
Well,
That's such like that's like fun. That's like all like jazzy.
that wasn't like their nickname. That was the place. The place was the Hot Gates.
Yeah, but that's like, I don't know, that is a very like I like all oh, the Hercules pillars and all like you know the pass through the Strait of
Yeah,
Gibraltar,
it's
the
called the
Hot
Hot
Gates.
Gates.
You know
Yeah,
what
the
I
hot
mean?
dude, the Hot Gates of Thermopylae.
Yeah, I thought that was a little dandy. I thought that was a lot of fun. The 300 win, right?
No,
That's what
the
all
answer is the
people think.
300,000 Ben Solaks.
Which this the like 3 weeks ago it was who wins? Like 15 Ben-sized ducks, one duck-sized Ben, whatever the heck it was.
Pick the duck.
And now it's okay. So run back the clock to Thermopylae. Bring all of Michigan State.
Yeah.
Use exclusive like the levels
Yes.
to the Ben Solak questions are out of this world.
I love them. I love the people for it. If you had to choose one branch of the American military to fight off any kind of invasion, what do you choose? I'm picking the Navy just because they have
Oh,
SEAL
that's
Team
it.
6, and me and Pat, shout out Pat, watched like 6 straight hours of documentaries about SEAL Team 6 and the history of it, so gotta pick them.
You hate to see that. That's disappointing. This is an obvious answer. And it's the Air Force because you need air support. There might be aliens, Trevor. Any invasion, you gotta prepare for by air. Air can attack ground. Ground cannot attack air as well.
Who you taking? A 3-foot-tall wide receiver with
I
8-inch
love this question. This
hands.
is my favorite question we've ever gotten.
Okay, all right, I gotta start over. Andrew, thank you for this question. Who are you taking? A 3-foot-tall wide receiver with 8-inch hands who runs a 3.5 40-yard dash and has a 60-inch vertical jump, or
60 inch.
a 9-foot receiver with 14-inch hands, but an 8.5 40 and a 2-inch vert.
9 foot tall. Which is what's amazing is that in context, Andrew asked another question, which was you can genetically modify three things about the human physiology to make them better at football. What are you choosing? And then followed up with this question about the tiny fast guy and the giant slow guy. Clearly, he's thought a lot about his first question because he had an addendum and a follow-up for the second question.
All right, which one would you take?
I ended up with the 9 foot tall receiver with 14 inch hands
Yes.
because now I'm the only offense in the league that pretty much has to go 85 yards to score, right? And 8.540 means that he's running 10 yards in about 2 seconds. So I just need to keep pass protection for 2.5 seconds to get him to the goal line, and then he's 9 feet tall with
I can
14-inch
do
hands.
that basically every down. So yeah, I think that's the cheat code here, just being
Right.
tall.
Now, 3 foot tall wide receiver with 8 inch hands runs a 3.540 and has a 60 inch vert. Yeah, we're gonna call that brother a running back, and we're gonna give him the ball behind the line of
Running
scrimmage.
backs
It'll
don't
be
matter.
all bubble screens, baby.
Running backs don't matter. Rank the different cuts of beef. So like steaks.
Right. I am a big strip steak guy. So strip steak got the number one spot for me. Now
Yikes.
I will say
Jesus.
that
You hate to see it, folks.
I love
Oh,
a strip
you
steak.
rooted for him so hard, and then he just
It's so
brings you to this point.
here's the thing is that
How you
I'm
ordering your
really
steaks?
medium rare as possible.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah,
Thank you.
like usually medium rare, but like I make it very clear that like I expect it to be red.
Okay, thank you.
I'm a very poor cook. And I'm working on it. It's something I want to get better at, but I'm a really poor cook. Strip steak is the only steak I've really been able to make well. It's not a hard one to cook. And so like I'm trying to work my way up to like better cuts of steak, but
Okay.
like I'm not trying to make a filet mignon. Like I'm not gonna do it well. You know what I mean? That's a delicate cut. So strip was number one for me. Porterhouse was number two. It's hard for me to eat a porterhouse, but when I do and I finish it, it's good.
We're all proud of you.
Yes, thank you so much. I took the tomahawk steak for number three, which I've only ever had two tomahawk steaks in my life, but they're so much fun to eat, and you can get them really soft as well.
Sure.
Fourth, I chose to do the filet mignon, and then fifth, I chose to do skirt steak because you can do a lot of really fun things with skirt steak in terms of like making full meals out of them, like salads and various like, you know, pasta meals and stuff like that. And so there's a lot of versatility there. So those are my five.
Oh, I'm disappointed and surprised, Ben.
Okay, well, hit me with it.
All right, five is T-bone, four is filet, three is strip, two is porterhouse, and number one, in a not a debate, is ribeye. It's just not a debate. It's the best cut of meat there is. It's the perfect flavor of fat and meat. It's wonderful. It's everything I've wanted in life, and now I'm already hungry. I can't wait to have another one. I got a cast iron skillet, and I've been doing seared steaks. And brother, let me tell you, if you're gonna get into cooking steak a certain way, make sure you obviously have a fan. That's what you got to do.
Nope, I sear steak. I sear strip steaks,
my man.
And it's a beautiful little meal. Saute a little spinach, do a little rice or quinoa
there
pilaf.
There you go. Listen to you.
I can make three meals. That's one of them.
Okay. Power rank Super Smash Brothers characters. Go. Did you do this one?
One, Link. Two, Young Link. End.
Okay. I went with the original ones just because I didn't want to name off all the Melee characters. But from worst to best, Jigglypuff, Luigi, Mario, Yoshi, DK, Link, Pikachu, Ness, Samus, Captain Falcon.
Dang. How many did you do?
Kirby, Fox. All of them.
Oh, wow. Okay, so wait, you say the original. I'm going to ask this question. You're going to be so pissed. There's a Super Smash Brothers before Melee?
Oh, my Jesus, Tony. How young is this kid?
We get a Jesus, Tony, how young is this kid? At least once a Fan Friday.
I know. And we got to keep it
Melee
up.
Melee was the first video game I ever owned.
Melee it's an incredible video game. Melee is my favorite of any of the Smash Brothers, but there were just too many characters. I didn't want to list them all.
Yes. My actual five goes, yes, one Link, two Young Link, three Kirby, four Samus, five Jigglypuff.
Yeah. Oh, Jigglypuff. Yeah. Wow. Okay. Hold on.
Listen, Jigglypuff and Kirby, the ability to do the extra bounces, critical. Because I'm a you know, long game player. I like to bob and weave out there.
Last two questions, because we're running out of time here. If Ben and Trevor, they both have to do with singing. If Ben and Trevor had to do a karaoke duet to save humanity, which song are you picking?
Wait, who asked this one? I didn't see this one.
Oliver Fuse, I think is how you say his last name. If I didn't say that right, I'm terribly sorry.
I'm not doing the hygienic question, but I'll get over it.
Which, wait, what?
I'm very sad we're not doing the hygienic question.
All right, fine. We'll do that one next. Okay. All right. Yay. No, we'll do that one now. All right, fine. What is it? Right. Hold on. I'm finding it. Rank every TDN member based on their ability to win a fight with a hyena.
Right. So, one, Kyle, right? Like Kyle is feisty. Kyle is large and strong. And also, Kyle is very competitive. So, Kyle would actually get locked in.
Okay.
Two, Jordan. Jordan is very strong. Jordan is very fast. Feel like he would be friendly to the hyena at first, and he would try to become pals with it because Jordan's a very affable fellow, but eventually push came to sub. He's a new father, so he'd really have that protective instinct going for him. Three, I gave it to you, Trevor, because you're the co-host of this podcast. Four, I gave it to Jonah, who I originally had above you, but I wanted to make sure you made the podium, so you're welcome. Five, I gave it to Joe. Joe is an animal lover, and I feel like he would not do well with trying to beat the hyena. Six, I put Paige. Paige is really terrifying, but I also feel like Paige can't really match a hyena, but don't worry, Paige. I put you above me. I put myself last. Ben is seventh.
Yeah, it's the correct list. I can't argue with it.
The question is rank every member of TDN based on their ability to win a fight with a hyena.
No, it was good. No, it was great. No, it was great. It was well thought out. I think it was good. The logic was there. All right, what song are we singing for? We got to sing a duet to save humanity. What are we doing? Right. We doing a little You're the One That I Want. I'm the John Travolta part. You're the Olivia part. From Greece?
Ooh, honey, well, I have a beautiful bass, and so really it's tough for me. I mean, I guess I'm doing a falsetto.
Okay.
Yes, I'm very down for that one.
Doing a little I've Had the Time of My Life by Bill and Jenny?
Most Here's the problem. Most karaoke duets are from musicals, and I do not like musicals.
Oh, dude.
I get very confused.
Brother.
I can't tell what's happening in the story. People are talking, and then they start singing at me, and I get discombobulated.
We doing I Can Show You the World? Aladdin?
Oh, I know that one. That's like a Disney one, so that's good. I was also thinking Colors of the Wind, because I can really rip a good Colors of the Wind.
Oh, wow. I probably couldn't do Colors of the Wind, but I mean, like, if I've got the lyrics in front of me, I might be able to do it.
Oh, wait. We should do Can You Feel the Love Tonight so we can harmonize on the chorus.
Oh, dude, I mean... I'm there. I'm there. If you want to do that one, sign me TF up.
I've heard the new Lion King movie is La Bad, which is Spanish.
Dude, I know. I'm pissed because, like, we already have tickets for it, and I'm, like, one, like, hype about it anyways. But, like, literally every person who has seen it early, I feel, who has been able to write a review about it has been like, this movie's bad. Which but makes me really sad.
The new Spider-Man is apparently great. So
no, the new Spider-Man is really good. I didn't like it better than the first new, like the MCU Spider-Man. Yeah, but like, it was really good. It was a good film. You haven't seen it yet?
I'm excited to see it. No spoilers. I have the puppy. I don't have. I have two
okay, so two things that you're doing this weekend. You're watching the new Spider-Man, and then you're watching Billy Madison.
My free time.
Last question. Similar to the singing one, if you had to sing one song, every word, or you lose the ability to taste all things, which you could spin as a positive, I guess, if you really wanted to, like, eat healthy, and then you could eat healthy because, like, healthy food doesn't really taste great, so, like, if everything just tasted the same, wow. I guess technically that would work out. But then you would also not get to taste things like the correct best steak, which is ribeye, so that's a bad thing. What song are you singing if you could do word for word?
The hit. Classic Chumbawamba, iconic song, Tub Thumping. I get knocked down, but I get up again. You are never going to keep me down. And then I go into infinitum.
That was good. That was a good loophole.
I know
I like
two
that.
Lines, and I know every line, brother. But it was actually like some... There's like the whiskey drink, vodka drink part, but I'm pretty sure I know that too.
You gotta sing it word for word, or you lose the ability to taste, dude. You can't be guessing out here.
Okay, well then, like, you know, obviously it's like, oh, like, happy birthday. No, you know, the Star Spangled Banner.
No, listen, man, I grew up in the emo age of music, so, like,
Say Blink-182.
No, I write Sin's Not Tragedy by Panic. Sugar We're Going Down by Fall Out Boy. Misery.
My Chemical Romance. Say it.
Just do Black Parade. Just get extremely emo on him. Just dye my hair black. Yeah, put the eye black on immediately. Go back to my peak middle school form. I'd love to say Real Slim Shady, but I think I haven't listened to Eminem in a while, and so I think the third verse would get me.
I know every word to Gold Digger. Oh, and I can do the Busta Rhymes part and Look At Me Now.
Okay. I mean, just that part, though, doesn't count for the song, but...
Yeah, I probably can't do the whole part, because...
Now I gotta go back and listen to Real Slim Shady and see if I can actually do it. But it would probably be an emo banger, because that was...
I respect it.
That was probably my peak music listening phase. All right, everybody, that was it. That's Fan Friday. Thank you so much for the questions. We always really enjoy this episode. Hope you guys enjoy it, too. I mean... From the people that I talked to earlier this week, apparently you guys do. This is always one of our most listened to things, and that's because of you guys. So you guys keep listening, keep interacting. We'll keep having a lot of fun with it. Next week, we're getting into the edge players. I'm really excited about that. We're getting to one of the premier positions of not only the game of football, but of course, that means the NFL draft too. It's one that really kind of commands the first round of the draft and commands a lot of teams as well. So I know we're getting to one player I'm very excited about, Mr. Chase Young from Ohio State, but we will have to see who else is running with him in this 2020 class. So until then, you guys keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft.
You were never going to get me down.